Let's turn to John chapter 3. And we're looking at verse 16, 17, and 18. John chapter 3, and verse 16, 17, and 18. And we invite you to read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to ask this question. As I was getting ready this morning, these words I heard sounds kind of simple and basic, but ask yourself, answer this question. Is sickness, think of any sickness, is cancer greater than God? Well, we know that, right? That's an obvious answer. Is cancer greater than God? Is diabetes greater than God? Is heart problems greater than God? Name whatever it is. It's not greater than God. Okay, I like your answer. Then let's ask this question. Let's go. You can look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, cancer is not greater than the Word of God. Diabetes is not greater than the Word of God. And any disease that you can name is not greater than the Word of God. So this Word is medicine. And this Word, if you take enough of God's Word long enough, it'll change you. Has to. So no matter what we've been exposed to, what kind of situations in life we've been exposed to, we have to ask the question, is it God's will to heal? And so we have to begin there and find out, and as I was sharing on Friday, we have to ask the question with anything. You cannot have faith for anything, faith in God for something that he's promised. You can't have faith apart from knowing what his will is, because faith comes from the Word of God. And so some of the notes that I've written down. If it's God's will to heal, if it is, and God never changes, says Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and when? Forever. He's the same. He never changes. He's without variableness or shadow of turning, which it says in James. He never changes. So that means that if we can find it in the Word of God, if we can find and establish that it's God's will to heal, then it's for every man. Because if God said this is his will, then it's not just for that one person or that one instance, it's for every man. He's eternal. And we'd have to establish if it's God's will to heal, then it's eternal. It's for every man for all time. It's not just for one person or one situation. And so what the church has done and the world has, just like salvation, they've said, well, we are not really sure it's God's will to heal. Well, we don't do that for the most part. We don't do that where salvation is concerned. We don't say, well, we're not sure it's God's will to heal here. Or not, we're not sure it's His will to save. How would you know when you got saved? How would you know it's the will of God? It does. The Word says so. But most that don't know what His will is and aren't convinced of it base their position based on what? Whether it happens or not. They ascertain the will of God based on what? Results. And so they'll say, well, if it happened, it must have been the will of God. And if it didn't happen, I guess it wasn't His will. And we don't do that. The church as a whole does not do that concerning salvation. They don't. Because you wouldn't say, well, we'll wait and see. If I made it, I guess it was His will for me to be saved. And if I didn't make heaven and I went to hell, I guess it wasn't His will. Too late. And so the church as a whole has faith in that particular area based on what? What the Scriptures say. And they can go to the Scriptures and they can take a look and see that whosoever believes and confesses with their mouth, whosoever, then that person shall be saved. But if we can find in the Scripture the will of God, then we can absolutely know that it's His will, and so it's established. In other words, I don't ever have to question God whether it's His will to heal me or not. We know it is. And it's a good place to be because you may know that, but maybe there's people that you run into and they're just not sure. I'm not sure. People will plead, God, please heal me. Please heal me. I'm hurting. Please heal me. Well, why would you say that if you weren't sure that it was God's will to heal you? So it's evident that there are some that are not convinced that it's God's will. So God's will is what? Revealed in His Word. And as one F.F. Bosworth shared in his book, faith begins where the will of God is known. So you cannot have faith in God until you know what His will is. I can't have faith in you unless I know what your will is. I can't have faith. And then on top of that, I got to know you're good for it. See, I have faith in the company that I work for to pay me. See, I work and I'm coming in faith, but I believe they're going to pay me on whenever they said they're going to pay me. So you've got to have faith. Well, they've expressed, that company has said, I'll pay you on such and such a day. So I know what their will is, and I have faith that they're going to do that. No different than with God. We've got to find out what His will is. And so concerning that, how could you know the will of God concerning something? How would you know when you find it? How would you know what it is? You know, the Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to be proving God's will by having what? Our minds renewed and changed. And how am I going to find that out? From here. I'm going to find out what God's will is in His Word so that my mind is changed, my heart is changed, and I can have faith for a promise of God. And so even in Ephesians, it says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, what His will is. So we're to not be unwise, but we are to find out and understand what the will of the Lord is. That's Ephesians 5:17, if you're writing notes. But we are to investigate and to find out what the will of the Lord is. And as we go through, let's look at one particular scripture. If we could find one scripture at this point, this in particular, let's look at Luke 5 just for a minute before we start. Luke 5, and look at verse 12 and 13. Here we have an instance where someone came and said, Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And what was his response? I will. And this is Luke 5, verse 12. It says, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. He was in a bad strait, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what was Jesus' response? Here we have a man full of leprosy. And of course, even in that time, and I believe even now, it's deadly if it gets too far. I mean, it's you're a goner. And he said, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So we can see here, this man came and said, Jesus, is it your will? If it be your will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately that leprosy left him. Now, let's think about this just for a moment before we go on. Jesus was the express will of the Father. So anyone who says, well, we're not sure, you know, we're just not sure whether it's God's will to heal. Well, wait a minute. I believe the scripture says that Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but him who sent me. And he also said in John 14, he's in verse 9, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And he went on and said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So when he said, I will, the Father was saying, I will. That was the revealed will of God. So at that point, we can see here, for all men, for all time, just the same way that salvation, Jesus came to die for all mankind, he said here, I will. So if you came to Jesus now and you said, Jesus, you can heal me if you will, what would his response be? I will. Because he's without variableness or shadow of turning, the Father is. He is without change. He never changes. His word is forever settled in heaven. So if someone came to the Father now and said, Father, if it be thy will, heal me, he'd say, I will. I will. So we cannot use that position of we're not sure. That's not scriptural. And if we're going to use scripture as a basis for supporting our cause, then you'd have to also do the same thing for those who come to you and say, well, we're not sure if it's God's will. Okay, show me a scripture, if we're using the scripture as the basis and the revealed will of God, then show me God's will that he does not will to heal. Show me a scripture. You can't find one. Because all who came to Jesus during his ministry were healed. He did not turn one away. All were healed and delivered. So someone would have to show me that it was not God's will to heal and scripturally support that. Not tradition, not something that you thought or read and were not sure about it. No, show me scripture. And so we can see here, since he's not a respecter of persons and he doesn't show favoritism, then God's will was expressed here. We can see that. And of course, I'm going to read this here. You can turn there if you want, but Matthew 9 and verse 27, it says, And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this. So he's trying to locate them. Believe ye that I am able to do this. They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to God's will, be it unto you. No. What did it say? According to God's power, be it unto you. According to God's faith, be it unto you. No, the scripture says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So, yes, it's God's will, but the way you're going to appropriate what's been promised to you is according to your faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's will. Faith in his word. And so many in the world today are not appropriating what's been promised to them because they're operating based on, well, I'm not sure. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But when you are operating in faith, then you are convinced of God's will. And when somebody is convinced, then they're expecting something to change. If you are operating in faith, and it's Bible faith, then you are convinced, number one, that it's God's will to heal. And when you're convinced of something, what does the scripture say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when somebody is confident, then they can have an expectation. The expectation or the hope rests upon what? The confidence. I can't have hope unless I'm confident of something. So my expectation is based on my confidence. So I can have confidence in God, and now what? I'm expecting a change. I'm expecting something to change. So here, this scripture verse is saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Not God's faith, and it didn't say according to God's will. He specifically said it's according to your faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. So we can see here, we're starting to see that it's God's will, and we're going to spend some other lessons. I want to focus on a couple of things today, but the next time we get together next week, I want to look at the covenant of healing and the types of redemption. In other words, if we can find the types in the Old Testament, then we are assured of its fulfillment because God doesn't do anything just to be doing. He established some patterns, some types in the Old Testament for the purpose of showing you what was going to be done and fulfilled in the New Testament. So if I can find healing in the type, then I can be convinced that it was fulfilled in the New Testament. And so those are the things that we'll look at next week. But if you would, let's look at, let's start first, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at verses 20 through 23. And we can look in the scripture, and one way we know that it's the will of God, one way, is that His word, He sent His word and healed them. And also, we have here in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23, His word is what? Medicine. Now, beginning in verse 20, it says, My son... attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them, his words, in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to what? All their flesh. Not some of it. There isn't anything that you can come up with that the word isn't medicine too. And we're going to take a lesson, I believe, and we're going to go through and look at the curses in Deuteronomy 28. And, you know, sometimes in the King James, it's a little obscure as to exactly what they meant. But you can look at some of the original translations and some of the newer translations, and they're very explicit as to what those curses were. Now, if I can look at that and establish that it meant this, but I can look at Galatians 3:13 that says, Christ hath redeemed me, then I'm free from it. I don't have to have it. I don't have to take it, you see. And then verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, my heart, are the issues of life. And of course, here, the heart we're talking about is the spirit of man. It's the core, the center of my being. So we can see here, his word is medicine, and medicine will make you whole. I like some of the other modern translations regarding this particular scripture. The New Living Translation says, and from verse 22 and 23, it says, for they bring life to those who find them. In other words, the scripture, the words, they bring life to those that find them, and healing to their whole body. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I like that. And the Amplified says, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. I like what's this particular, there's a few translations I like. This is the complete Jewish translation. It says, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole being. Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And this is the Good News translation. It says, they will give life and health to anyone who understands them. I like that. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, this is the Jerusalem Bible. It says, they are life to those who grasp them, health for the entire body. Now, listen to this. This is the New English Bible. It says, this is verse 23, it says, guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of life. I like that. Guard your heart more than any treasure. And I don't care what treasure you have, whether it's, could be your wife or husband. You may think, dear my treasure. Well, this says here, guard your heart more than any treasure. So when you place someone above that, your heart, you need to watch that. If it's above the Word of God, yeah, we love one another. May you love your mate, but you can't place that above the Word of God. Has to be beneath the Word of God. And it, you could be a job, could be a position that you have. You're to guard your heart more than that, more than any treasure that you have, for it is the source of all life. What is? Your heart. What comes out of your heart? What you think, what you got your mind on is what's going to be in your heart. And that will shape your life. That's going to create the path and the direction and the consequences, as the scripture says, in life. So one of the things, and I'm focusing on, we're looking at the will of God being established, but we're also looking at here, starting the heart of man, the spirit of man, and we're saying we're to guard it above all else. Anything that you can think of, it's to be guarded above that. We're to protect this at all costs. Protect your heart. And the condition of your heart affects your body. The condition of your heart can and does affect your body. And I'm going to say it this way. When you let your heart get into a deficit, it can affect your physical body. Turn over to, I want to look at a couple of other scriptures here. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Let's flip ahead here. 16 and verse 24. Now I'm going to, I think I'm going to read 23 and 24. 16:23, it says, the heart of the wise teacheth, or it teaches his mouth, and mine says, maketh wise, and addeth learning to his lips. Now look at verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and what? Health to the bones. So what we put in our heart can affect the body. And so one of the things that we need to make sure when we're looking at that is, what are we putting in is how, what's going to affect the body. And just like this immune system that we have in the body, when the immune system in our body begins to be compromised, when it goes down, when it's affected in some way or compromised, then the body can be affected or compromised. And just the same way, we know this, when your immune system is strong in the natural, in this body, you could have disease going on in this body, you don't even know about it. Why don't you know about it? Because the immune system goes, eats it up and disposes it. So there's things going on that are deadly, could be deadly in your body. I mean, they've already, medical science has already said that. There could be some deadly something going on in your body, and because of the immune system, it squashes it. I mean, what is AIDS called? Acquired immune deficiency. So disease has taken place because of an immune deficiency. So the same thing can happen when this spirit man gets into a place of compromise and becomes weakened. It affects the body, not only physically, but it will cause the body not to be able to fight off things in the body because of what? The life of God's Word. And so we need to make sure that you know, I'm not just having a snack once a week. That you need to be feeding on God's Word and not just healing scriptures, but God's Word is life. He didn't say healing scriptures were life to those that find them. He said His Word is life to those that find them and health. So if you get enough of God's Word in you, it will drive out sickness and disease. It'll change your body. Is there sickness in God? No. He is pure light. Hey, stop that. He is light, and His Word is light. And if I get enough of the light of God's Word in me, it will drive sickness and disease out of this body. It'll change me. Not just physically, but anybody who might be in a mental state, it'll change them. Absolutely will change them if they get enough of God's Word in them. But it takes them feeding upon God's Word little by little by little by little by little, because this is what the Scripture is saying here. It is life and health to all their flesh. And just the same way that salvation, and or let's put it another way, God's Word is for everybody. It is not for a select group. The Word came for everybody. The Word of God is for everybody for all time. So that means that salvation is for everybody. So is healing. Healing is for everybody. For all time. You can't come up with a sickness or a disease, because if you say that healing is not for everybody, if you even thought that and said, well, maybe healing isn't for everybody, then you'd have to conclude and say that He's not only a respecter of persons, but you'd have to say that salvation is not for everybody. And we know that's not true. So because salvation is for everybody, healing is for everybody. In Psalm 107:20, He said He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And some of the other translations, the New Living said He spoke and they were healed. I like that. Snatched from the door of death. The Bible in Basic English said He sent His Word and made them well and kept them safe from the underworld. So right here, the Scripture's beginning to talk about where sickness comes from. See, He said in Ezekiel, Exodus, He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. He said, at the end of that, He said, I will bring none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And when you look that up, the Lord, when you look up the word Lord, it says Jehovah, and healeth is Rapha. So it's Jehovah Rapha. That's His eternal name, or one of them. So He is the Lord that healeth thee. So, that being the case, He doesn't have sickness. I always ask this question. When He created this planet, and He created all the heavens and the earth, and He created man, and He looked at it and He said, it is good. And it is very good. Where did He, if He is speaking the Word of God, in other words, what He spoke came into existence, where did He speak sickness into existence? You can't find it. I mean, just some basic stuff, you got to go back and look at how was man created? Did He create sickness in man? No, He did not. And so we can go to Book of Romans and find out how sickness entered in. Sin allowed death in, and with death came sickness and disease. So we can see it was the fall of man that allowed, that in his sin allowed death to enter in, and because of death, sickness and disease entered in. But God didn't create that. That was man that allowed that to happen. So sickness and disease is not God's will. That's what we're saying all along here. Let's take a look. I want to take a look at Proverbs 18, and let's look at verse 14. Proverbs 18, and let's look at verse 14. And we're looking at the spirit of man. And it says, the spirit of man, this is in the King James, says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can bear? And when you look up the word wounded, it just means broken or stricken or wounded. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, the human spirit can endure a sick body. This is what the New Living Translation says. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? So one of the things that we need to keep in mind is we are to guard our heart above all things, the spirit of man. We're to guard it because this says here the human spirit can endure a sick body. But who can bear it if the spirit is crushed or wounded or weakened? How can it? It can't. And, of course, you can certainly look at, there are other scriptures that we can support. Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth what? Good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let me read this in, the New Living Translation. Always makes it a little plain. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And you can see that in the natural. When someone's spirit is weakened or in a compromised state, it saps their strength. And so this is why it is utmost important. That's why it says, guard your heart above any treasure. So we're to guard this heart and feed it and watch what we put in it, watch what we listen to, because it can, what we end up thinking about, what we think about will do what? It says, this, what I think about will shape my life. So if I think that just maybe it might not be God's will to heal me, it's going to shape the direction and the choices that I make and my faith in God. So here, we want to make sure that this spirit doesn't become weakened like our immune system. We want to make sure that this spirit man is kept strong so that when attacks come, I'm not immune from the attacks, but I want to feed and feed and feed. And I say this, that if you're in a situation where your body is under attack, you don't have time to watch television. You don't. You don't have time to do some of the natural things that you may want to do. Because what's at stake here is your physical body. And you need to feed on medicine to change it. You need to feed on God's medicine to change it. And it's going to be feeding on God's word that's going to change the circumstance. And just the same way when we read reports and testimonies from years gone where Lillian B. Yeoman, she was a doctor, a medical doctor, that once she got saved, she opened up a health clinic. And her health clinic was mainly people who had tuberculosis and other deadly type diseases. And all they would do is do what? They'd give them this. And they would read and read and feed and feed and feed and feed and read. And they'd get the person in that situation. They would tell them, look, just say this, read this over and over and over and over. All the time, every day, every hour, every minute. And they said, usually, after about 3 days, they would begin to see a change. Either the sickness would go, or they'd begin to see a change. It was getting the word of God down in their spirits, and that was medicine to all their flesh, and it changed them. And so when we have when the fight's on, we don't have time to play around. And the scripture, I believe, let me just look here. Scripture that's come here. Thought it was that scripture. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 6. Where, let me just see here. Is it first? Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you are bought with a price. See, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this body is not my own. It was bought with a price. And I'm to glorify God, and I'm not glorifying him with allowing sickness to stay in this body. So I need to take God's word and feed upon it and make sure that this spirit man stays strong and built up. And I don't allow it to get compromised. Now, I heard years ago, this was something in meetings that I heard Brother Copeland express this, where he was always putting out, putting out, putting out, putting out, putting out, teaching, 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 flying, going, running, doing things. And he found himself in a word deficit. You understand what I mean by that? He found himself always teaching the word, and he wasn't putting anything in, or not enough in. And he found himself in a deficit. And he was wondering, why am I? I'm just so tired. I'm dragging. And he'd find himself after meetings just wore out. And dragon, and he could never get back into just being energized. And the Lord told him, you're putting out, but you're not putting enough back in. And you're always putting out and putting out and putting out, and you're putting nothing back in. And so if you are always teaching the Word of God, you've got to take time to meditate in the Word of God. And feed on the Word of God to replenish. It's the same thing. If you're an athlete, you don't eat the same kind of food that just a normal person would eat. I remember when the Olympics were on and they were talking about Michael Phelps and all of the training that he did, he was taking in 12 to 15 to 18,000 calories a day because he was in the pool 6 and 7 and 8 hours a day training. And he was eating gobs of food. But he was burning it up, you see. So there was no deficit. You could just imagine if somebody didn't eat and they're, you know, giving out all of that energy, they'd fall flat on their face. And so in the natural, it's the same thing. We need to feed upon God's word to make sure our spirit man stay strong. And one of the things that I shared in the last lesson is that sometimes some, and I'm not saying this is the case in all cases, but the scripture, when we look at Deuteronomy, and it talks about the blessings and the curses, one of the things that I look at is because there's some things that have not been done away with. The curse was done away with, but the blessings weren't. And it says here, and it shall come to pass, this is Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Well, one of the things that I never voiced it, but it always was, it was in the back of my thinking. I'll just put it that way. That Christians will take a scripture and use it conveniently. Well, we're just going to pray and bless this food and God's going to bless it. Oh, really? I said, okay. Did you ask God whether or not he wants you to eat that food? And because I'll just put it to you this way. I never really bought into that. I could just eat whatever I wanted to eat and have God bless it. He don't bless everything you do. He tells you right here, if you hearken unto my voice, he said, then I'll bless. So my feeling is, yeah, I believe that we should ask God. It tells us that we're to acknowledge God in everything that we do. I mean, that's what Proverbs says. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him. Well, let me ask a question. In all thy ways, would that be sitting down to eat? Oh, yeah. And so what I have observed, just in the natural, is that we're just eating stuff that man puts in front of our plate. And we're eating it. Yeah, we're blessing it. But are we asking God, should I eat this? How much should I eat of it? Or should I even eat it at all? And so we're asking God, we're in a covenant with God. And so he said, if you do this, I'll do this. And we're asking him to bless what's being put on our table here. And we didn't even ask him, should I eat it? And then we're asking him to do his part of the covenant. And I didn't even ask. Somewhere along the line, that's out of balance. I don't personally think is right. I think that if we're to acknowledge him in all our ways, then I think we're to also acknowledge him what we should be doing concerning our eating. And I think that sometimes we're getting over into things, and the conditions in our body are a result of us not asking. That's just, you can take that or leave it, however you decide. But for me, I have not always asked God whether I should have that Wingding and Coke or Snickers bar. I didn't. I had it because I wanted it. And as folks say, I had a taste for a Dunkin' Donuts. I'm just, you know, that's just being real. I had, you know, people go, I got a taste for something. Really? Okay. Did you ask God? Was that taste something you just got to have? Or did you ask him, should I have it? Because he may say, no. He may, but you don't know because you never asked. You just want to have it. Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you shouldn't be eating that. Yeah. And see, what silly is when folks go, Lord, bless this big bowl of ice cream. Come on now. That's silly. That's just plain silly. Yeah, bless this big bowl of ice cream here. It's really silly because we're not asking. And then we're ending up with the results. And then we go back and then we're saying, well, God, how come? He said, did you ask? No. So you're reaping what you sow because we don't ask. And I don't mean to get into the ditch, but I also think that we can't also be in the ditch on the other side and say, Lord, bless everything I put in front of my face. You see? And because think about this from this standpoint, did God give the Israelites some eating conditions? Hell yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He gave them some things. You eat this, you don't eat this, you eat this, you don't eat this. So if he was wise enough to show them what to eat and not to eat, how about today? Because the world is perpetrating stuff on mankind for the sake of greed and not using wisdom and mixing stuff together to make it taste good and look good, and we're just eating it and not even asking. And then over years of that, we end up with conditions in our body because we have not asked God. We can't blame him. We just didn't ask. And I personally think, this is just me, since there's enough scripture to support we should ask, I think we should. I do. Now, I say this, God is merciful. Thank God, because even when we're dumb, he's merciful. Even when we don't know or didn't even think to ask, he's merciful. And he'll extend mercy and correct some things if we start getting into the habit of, Lord, should I do this? You see, the thing that's interesting to me, and I just put it this way, and I've looked at it and observed it. I say, why is it that people who don't know the Lord, don't serve him, and have a healthy lifestyle? They eat moderately. They eat things that are just not in excess. Why is it that they seem to be healthy? Why is that? See, and then the Christians who want to have a buffet with everything, we're running with problems. See, I just think it's that we've taken Scripture out of context and used it to our own purpose. That's just me. And I said that, you know, we need to go back and look at some things and see, yes, to me, it's all part of looking at healing and saying, okay, this spirit needs to be strong and maintained, but I also need to check in. If I'm in a relationship, it's not one-sided. I don't just get what I want. If I'm in a marriage relationship, there needs to be some communication. It's not just me. If I'm going to have the benefits of that relationship. So it's the same thing with God. We're expecting him to fulfill and to do his part. Then I think we need to do ours. Because when he said, when you bring your tithe into the storehouse and prove me, now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will open up the windows of heaven and do what? Pour you out a blessing that you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer. So when we start doing what we're supposed to do, he'll honor his side of the contract. So, but that's, you know, again, those are natural things. And of course, anybody who has the book Christ the Healer, in there. The newer version, for some reason, I don't know why they took it out, but they had a chapter in the book, Christ the Healer, by F.F. Bosworth. And in that book, the older version, and if you go online, it's still available, It's a black cover with yellow and red lettering. And you need to find that particular book. The newer one, they took the chapter out, which I have no idea why they did that. It didn't make any sense. But in that chapter, it was 21 reasons why Christians don't get healed. And to me, it's a very important chapter because number 5 in there says violating the laws of nature. And that explained to me when I read that, I said, there it is right there. There's the reason. We're violating natural laws and we're reaping the results of it, which is, you know, you can look at it. I think there was a report out, not to get sidetracked on this, but there was a report out recently about, you know, Americans and, you know, their physical condition and so forth. And if we don't get it under control, we're going to reap the results of it. And so anyways, those are just, I mean, natural science has already proved that. So I can't turn around and ask God to violate natural laws. He's not going to do that. So, but so we're looking at finding the will of God in Scripture, and we're also looking at His Word as medicine. Now let's just start for a moment, and I will pick up here next week. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, and starting in reading verse 11. And it says, now all these things happened. What things? Things that preceded in this prior verses that we're not going to read right now. But you can read them. And it says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And my margin says types. They happened as ensamples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the worlds are come. So we're looking at types. We're going to look at types, or for the benefit of those that may not know what a type is, it says it's something that represents beforehand as a type or a prefigure of something to come. One of the other words in the Strong's Concordance, it says, it's a pattern in conformity to which a thing must be made. So it's a type. It's something that must conform in a pattern to something that must be made. It's also an example to be imitated. It's another word. It says it's also a person or a thing, as in the Old Testament, believed to foreshadow another, as in the New Testament. So again, if I can see healing in a type in the Old Testament, then it foreshadows something that is to be fulfilled in the New Testament. So if I can see it in the Old Testament, then we can conclude that it was fulfilled in the New Testament. It was a type. It was a foreshadow of something. It also says it's a person or thing prefiguring a future messianic person or thing. So if I can see it in the Old Testament, if something or someone, if someone was healed in the Old Testament because of a type, then we can conclude that it was fulfilled in Christ. And that's what we're going to look at, that we can begin to look at a type or the types. We can look at healing in the types in the Old Testament. Now, let's look and start for a moment. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. So if we can see it in the type, and it was not provided for in redemption, then the type would be misleading. And it would be false. And of course, we know that that's not so. We're God's concern. Exodus chapter 12, and let's look starting in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb." Now, let's pay attention starting in verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Now, again, remember, we're looking at a type of something. And we're looking at also healing. "A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." This is something. Now let's look at verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it." Now, it's not talking about eating the blood. It's talking about eating the lamb. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." See where it says that? "I will execute judgment." This is the Lord now. "I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So we can see in this passage here two things they were supposed to do. Two things. They were to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the lintel or the upper door post of the house. And they were to do what? Eat the body of the lamb. They were to eat the body of the lamb. So you can see here, both the body and the blood were part of this type. And you can see here, and now, I'm going to jump ahead here a second so we can see the context of this. Let's go over to Psalm 105. Let's look at Psalm 105 and verse 27. Psalm 105, verse, I'm sorry, 37. And this is highlighting the same Passover or deliverance out of bondage. Psalm 105 and verse 37. Well, let's back up here. You can look at verse 36. It says, "And he smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength." Look at verse 37. "He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes." Now, let me read this from the Good News Translation. When you look up the word feeble, it says weak, decayed, cast down, sick, impotent, without strength, sick of the palsy. So this says here, let's read this here. It says, "He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one sick person, weak or sick person, among their tribes." And I'm going to ask you a question. How many years were they in bondage? How many centuries? They were in bondage for 4 centuries, 400 years, over 400 years. In that time, they were beaten. They were cast upon. They weren't given the right kind of food. They were demanded to produce without the right materials. I submit to you, there must have been many sick and feeble people that were about to come out of Egypt, to come out of bondage. There had to have been. Just reading the accounts in the Old Testament of how they were treated, whipped, beaten. So something miraculous had to have happened. We're talking about healing in the type. If this scripture first says not one feeble person among their tribe, and we just got done reading about Exodus where it says they were to do what? Strike the two side posts and the upper door post with the blood. And he said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn." He said, "But when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you." And he also said, "You're to eat the body of the lamb." So something miraculous happened where not one feeble person came out of Egypt. Not one. And they came with silver and gold. And so one has got to ask the question, what happened? Now, let me read this in the Good News Translation. It says, "Then he led the Israelites out. They carried silver and gold, and all of them were healthy and strong." Well, we read accounts that they weren't. But something miraculous happened to their physical bodies when they ate the lamb. They were healthy and strong. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you came to Christ and you were delivered out of darkness and into the marvelous light, we were not only delivered from eternal death, but we were delivered from sickness and disease. We were delivered. That's our covenant promise. And so anyone who comes to Jesus, and here's the question that one has to ask. If it's not God's will to heal everyone, then deliverance is not for everyone. Then salvation is not for everyone. And we're seeing here in the type, we're seeing something that was afforded them because of the blood and the eating of the lamb. And we can see that in the scriptures. So we can see here, this type portrays the real thing. we can see here, they ate the body and they were healed. And they were delivered with gold and silver, and they were strong and healthy. And that's part of the basis of what we're looking at in these lessons, is that what has been afforded us, if we can see it in the type, then it's been fulfilled. And of course, we know the scriptures. We can see Galatians 3:13 that says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. But this supports, it's not just taking that scripture, but when we walk through and see the types that God had them do in the Old Testament, you have to ask yourself, what was the purpose? What was the reason he did that? It was a foreshadowing of something that was going to take place. It was looking towards the cross. So one also has to conclude from this that no blessing, no healing, no deliverance, no blessing to mankind can be apart from Jesus. Because if God did something apart from Jesus, if the Father did something apart from Jesus, then one would have to say, what would be the purpose of Jesus' coming? And so when you look at 2 Corinthians, and we'll close with this, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, in who? In Christ, are yea, or yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And of course, I like some of the other translations. The New International Translation says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And I like, this is the Message translation. It says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. I like that. It gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. So all the promises of God are yes in Christ. So those blessings afforded people prior to the cross were looking through to the cross, but it was looking through the type. That's what God had them do, it's what he had them do the types for. It was looking to the cross. And so we can look at that and say anything afforded mankind, see, so man cannot use this, well, he does, but this particular scripture here, someone can't say, well, you know, God is sovereign and God will do what he wants to do. Well, let's think about that a minute. If God can do what he wants to do and God is sovereign, where is Jesus in the equation? He cannot do something apart from what Jesus did. Jesus is the mediator between man and God. So God cannot circumvent the mediator. That mediator is there. He is the go-between. He's the link between mankind and the provisions and the grace. And so the grace has been afforded us through Christ. All the grace of healing, the grace of salvation, all of those things have been afforded us through Christ and cannot be circumvented just because God is sovereign. No, he is sovereign. But he has set that up so that all the blessings that have been afforded us have been through Christ. And that's why if he could just do whatever he wants to do, then he could just save people because he's sovereign. No. There's no name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so God, yes, he is sovereign, but every blessing, every grace afforded us has to be received by faith, and it's through Christ. So healing is the will of God, and we walk through, and once one knows that it's the will of God, it's our position to chase it out, to appropriate the promises of God through faith in Christ. Now, I'm going to close and pick up next week, and take the material and listen to it and feed on it. It'll get down in your spirit, and it's not, how shall I put it this? What does the word say? The entrance of his word brings light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. What? The revelation gives understanding unto the simple, not your natural understanding of it. That's part of it, but it's the unfolding of God's word. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So it's the revealing of God's word that gives us understanding. And it's upon that which we can then appropriate faith for something, whether it's healing, provision, and be blessed. Praise God. Amen. I'm finished for today. And this particular subject, if you don't need it, at some point you live long enough, you will need it. I just put it that way. If you don't need healing and you're healthy and fine, you live long enough, you'll need it. That's the truth. We'll need it somewhere. Praise God. I'll take a few questions if there's any, if somebody has a question or a thought. Otherwise, just take this and feed on it. One of the things that I find is that I'll listen to a message. Sometimes I'll listen to a message 4, 5, 6, 8 times, and then all of a sudden I'll begin to see something, or it'll begin to just kind of take root in my spirit. And so it's not hearing it once. And I share this. I'm thrilled that the material we're making available as download, there's really, in the natural, there's no excuse to not feed, to not learn. It's like if you're given free food and you don't eat, it's your fault. I mean, you say, come and eat. And you say, nah, I'm not hungry. And you fall flat on your face, it's your fault. So the food is being offered, it's being extended, just feed on it. And the Word will do the rest. The Word of God will do the rest. We've got to, they say, open your mouth and put something over the lips and eat. And so we need to feed on the Word of God. Amen. Praise God.